You're listening to The Art of Talking Bollocks, episode 7, and yep, before I go on to my next guest, I'd like to pay tribute to my comedy hero, Rick Mail. On Tuesday the 9th of June, it'll be 6 years since Rick passed away, and I'll be honest, folks, I remember people saying to me, you know, they cried when Elvis died and all that stuff, and I never really got it. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I just didn't understand, you know, it's a celebrity. And then Rick passed away and I got it. He's the reason I do comedy. Yes, I'm not as successful as Rick, but hey, he's why I do comedy. He's why I write comedy. He is the funniest man I have ever seen. Honestly, just hilarious. And he's made me laugh to the point where I think I was going to pass out or even die. The man was a comedy genius. In fact, he was peerless. In my eyes, there'll never be another Rick. You know, he co-created the iconic TV show, The Young Ones. And trust me, folks, back in the day, that smashed the mold. It didn't just break it, it smashed it. And you know what? That was a bit like Rick himself. You know, they're from him doing cameos in Blackadder's Lord Flashheart, where he just stole the show. His writing partnership with Ed Edmondson, where they wrote Filthy Rich and Cat Flap and The Dangerous Brothers and Bottom and Guest House Parody. So, you know, there's everything. There's little cameos he did in all loads of different comedy shows. There's Rick the Poet. I could go on all day. Honestly, the guy is just the best. And I don't think I'm giving him justice. This is about the fifth take I've done on this, and I still cannot do it justice. This is the best I can do. Sorry, Rick. But before I get on again, go on to my guest, I just want to read something. These are the five mantras Rick Mail read to graduates at the University of Exeter. He was given an honorary doctorate. And I only heard them after he died. And ever since then, do you know what? Every time if you're struggling or not believing in yourself or whatever, I always read these. So I'm going to read them to you. I think I should share it to you guys. So one is, all men are equal, therefore no one can ever be your genuine superior. Two, it is your future. It is yours to create. Your future is as bright as you make it. Three, change is a constant in life, so you must never, ever lose your wisdom. Your wisdom that you nurtured and enriched here. Four, if you want to live a full and complete human life, you have to be free. Freedom is paramount. And five, love is the answer. See, now you know why he's my comedy hero, but also just he comes out with stuff like that there. So trust me, I miss him badly, and you think he was part of my own family, but that's how big an influence he was on me. I also want to read out a quick tweet. When he passed away, his partner in crime, Ed Edmondson, wrote, "He's died for real without me, selfish bastard." I mean, that's difficult after a relationship. And you know what, folks, this kind of leads me nicely on to my guest. Now, this is not the original intro for this. I did an intro while we were doing the interview, and there's been a few technical hitches, so I've got to do another introduction. And yes, this is my partner in crime in writing comedy. We both wrote a pilot that probably none of you have ever seen, but it was able to be in the Belfast Film Festival. And, you know, we got good reactions from it, and talent agents. and he is returning. He was in the Talent Agency episode 3, and he is the first person to return to the Art of Talking Bollocks. And I'm pleased to welcome my good mate, Rory Lindsay. So check out our wee chat of, or should we say, us talking bollocks. Dude, welcome back to the Art of Talking Bollocks.
Thanks for having us. Love it. Love it.
So, where do we start this conversation, man? Where are we going to start? Are we going to start? Do we start with, here's another thing I was thinking of, I didn't mention before, just throw us in here. The two of us in the past, you know, year, you've now actually passed it now. I don't want to add this, but we've both turned 40.
Uh-huh.
You've gone. Shut up. 41. How's that been for you? I'm going to ask you that question because
it's a bit like how Ricky Gervais said on that Stephen Colbert show, the pendulistic testicles is probably the one thing tripping over them. The grey pubes is just something that nobody will ever prepare you for. Like,
that's it. And it happens on your 40th birthday. You walk into the bathroom, you know, and you bollock naked, and you just look down and you go, say, my balls are down by my knees. It really does change.
The whole area down there reminds me of how Herbert looks in Family Guy, his face. It's just a fucking car crash. Nothing's impressive at all anymore.
It's the downward spiral, man. I mean, you're doing a lot of exercise and stuff. You're doing a bit of gym work before all this nonsense kicked in. We can't. I know I said before I don't really like talking about it, but we can't avoid it. But before all this started, you were kind of quite keen getting the gym and stuff. And
yeah, it was one thing. I think, like everybody else, you got to sort of do something to keep yourself occupied. Like you really do. Whenever I finished work, for me, it was a case of, yeah, I got to keep myself active. And it's, I suppose on the serious side of it, it was for, I want to stay around for my kids an awful lot more.
Yeah.
And then as soon as this stupid thing came along regarding the virus.
Yeah.
Same thing. I haven't done any work. I haven't been at work since the 24th of March, man. You know what I mean? So I've been trying to keep myself as occupied as possible. I've been writing a few things with Jacqueline.
Yeah.
I've been looking into, believe it or not, trying to get myself back into the acting scene a bit and tried to get my finger in a few pies just to see, and then to have them call me and go, well, you've picked a weird time to be doing it. I was like, well, I've had a lot of time to procrastinate. I'm not like, you know what I mean? I've been sitting on my bollocks for the last fucking 8 weeks. Help us out.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, it is. It was something I was chatting with the Sixth Sense guys. It's something we were sort of having a wee chat about. Oh, fuck, you remember this gig we did this year? And I'm going, man, I'm fucking dying to get back into this. It's been too long. And yeah, I mean, with the gym stuff, funny you say that. I went back and did football last year. And I thought, like, it shows you how fucking you start to waste away. I saved the shot. I went and the first game. I was like, I'm doing goalkeeper. I'm not going outfield because I will die. And I pulled off a save, but it hurt my arm. I was like, what? Am I falling apart? But the longer the weeks went on, I started playing outfield. Now, don't get me wrong, I wasn't charging up and down. I kept pulling hamstring injuries and things like. But as it went on, I was like, right, I'm going to have to use my brain here more than ever, you know, the which worked. But as you say, I think it's a wake up call turning 40. For me, it was.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I was like, fuck, man, I need to get my shit together because I don't want to be in my, 10, 15 years' time where I'm having fucking going to the doctor all the time and stuff like that there. You know what I mean? So,
fuck's sake, I have palpitations going up and down the stairs.
No, I don't know, but it's okay. I mean, this is what I'm saying. That's the whole thing about the podcast. It's not, I know we do comedy and stuff, but, it is about talking about shit like this. And you do start going, and then this nonsense came in. There's me saying, I'm not going to talk about fucking coronavirus, dude. We're fucking, but you can't avoid it.
I know, it takes a turn, doesn't it? Like,
but, to do stuff, you know, we had sort of stopped, numbers dwindled around Christmas, and we were talking about starting up again in April, and then this fucking thing comes along and you can't do anything. Now, I'm in a weird way, I'm lucky I'm still working. Yeah. And I'm not, because it's doing my head, and I'm doing very little because I usually work in the community. So I can't do that. I have to do it over the phone. So I feel like the Samaritans kind of thing. But it's having to outlet as well, man. So even if you were working, it's coming home and going, what the fuck do you do? Do you know?
So
what
is
means?
That what this call is then? It's like a Samaritan thing. You're feeling sorry for me.
I'm feeling sorry for you, man. It was like, are you okay, Rory? But yeah. So that, to be honest with you, though, joking aside, this is kind of why I'm doing this podcast. I started it back up again. As you remember, we did that. That was episode 3 of this podcast was done in June last year. And then I didn't do another one for a whole year. So this is only episode 7. So, do you know what I mean? So it kind of to do this. And then at least it's an outlet, man. Because even with working, you're coming home and going, well, what? You're bored out of your fucking mind. Like, so it is doing stuff about, you know, I suppose, fucking yours is to get, you because I've seen you've got a bit of weights and stuff and all about now, and I'm still doing bits of work around the house and all.
I had little bits and pieces anyway from probably when I was living in centre of Belfast on Great Victoria Street, never moved, obviously, Dunmurray. And I suppose having it, what's the point wasting it, like? So yeah. I had the missus out doing it as well, a few bits and pieces, and I just I don't know why I'm pointing at it because nobody can see it. But I had a pull up bar outside with so you can attach like a boxing bag to it.
Yeah,
just to do it, you know what I mean? Just every little bit helps. But my biggest itch, apart from thinking about getting back to work and keeping fit, is just still the. The comedy side, that's always been in the back of my head. Just getting back at that, man, that's all I really want to do. But with this time and all this shit that's been going on, it's given me more of an opportunity to think about what I really, really want to do. Yes. And I mean, since you and I worked together back in that nut house, right? It's been a passion, man. And I'm...
Yeah.
My old man said to me, listen, don't be 50 and think what if. Yeah. If I'm going to fail at it, right, I'm going to fail at it. But at least fucking attempt to do something.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much now putting myself back out there, getting on to certain groups, putting myself out to see if anybody will bite and say here, even trying to get representation, for instance, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something like that. But with what we had done on, talent agents, for instance,
yeah,
to me, the best experience I've ever had.
Yeah.
Good people. Well, 90% of them were really good people.
Yeah, yeah, right? Well, yeah.
I really enjoy. See, the fact of going to work with your mates.
Yeah.
That's what it made for me. Simple. That was it. Yeah, that's what I want.
That's it. I agree with you, man. I mean, I think that's actually why I mentioned the 40 thing. I know I was joking about the start, and I know we started doing the early elements thing, but
yeah,
you know, it is about, I think I've, in the past year, I've reflected a lot more on things and gone, right, in the terms of, like, I'm doing the stuff to Sixth Sense, so I kept going, but it wasn't, I've kind of got to the point now where I'm like, do it, if I'm enjoying it, just do it that way. Just enjoy it, and if I don't enjoy it, don't do it. And if on the way someone says, here's money to do this, fuck, that's amazing. And it's same if someone ever picked talent agents up or something like that there, that's amazing. But at the moment, I to keep me level-headed, I've gone, right, don't be going fucking, right, I have to do this, because me and you both, I think, said, right, if it's not happening by 40, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
That's why another reason why I picked that. I brought that subject up. And I'm at the point of going, well, do you know what? I'm still enjoying this. And as long as I'm enjoying it, that's all that fucking matters.
I think that's exactly. No, that's 100%. It's the main thing. See, if you enjoy doing something, you do it fucking balls to the walls. I mean, it's the same as, say, the other day, my wife and my daughter showed me pictures, right? She posted my response, but I couldn't help it because I was sort of both of them were put in front of me at a time, and it's like sort of being backed into a corner. And my daughter asked me, "What do you think of these?" And I went, "Well, they're both shite, right?" but you know what? She enjoys doing it. Am I going to tell her don't because you're bollocks at it? No, she's 7. She will get better. And if not, then I'll tell her to fucking stop. But the thing is, if you enjoy something, you have a passion for something, fucking go.
Yeah.
And I will never, ever discourage anybody to give up something. See, whenever I heard, obviously whenever Agents finished and yourself and the boys got on with that Sixth Sense, I've had people that you and I both know ask me, do you feel bitter? Do you feel jealous? I was like, do I? If anything, I have nothing but admiration and respect for people who are carrying on, do what they want to do. Why would I say, oh, I fuck those guys? Absolutely not. They're my mates. Why would I say that? Never, friends, you know what I mean?
That's bollocks. In the end of the day as well, you know, at that time you were kind of going, I remember you had got disillusioned as well, man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, massively.
And you were like, man, I just don't think I can do, especially if you're doing live stuff, I just don't think, and I was like, look, man, and I just went, I'm not going to, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm not fucking pestering him, because I've done it too many times before in different groups going, Rory, come on the fuck, come on the fuck. And you're like, Stevie, fuck, no, leave it, you know. So with that, it was kind of, you know, I was like, well, Rory doesn't want to do that. I still want to do this, as in writing, doing comedy performances, as in sketch comedy and stuff like that. So I just continued on with it. I mean, and I think, you know, we talked about talent agents in the in episode 3, but you know, there was an impact in talent agents for me as well. I was exactly the same. I was totally. It floored me because I put so much, and I think that's why I'm at that point myself now where I've gone, I'm just going to enjoy it. With talent agents, I was kind of already going, oh, this has to be picked up. This is cool. This is amazing. This is so good. And invested everything into it, put my heart, my soul, everything into that, and then crashed because nothing was happening and got like, what the fuck's the point? And I think that was the only reason why I was like, well, I'll just go. I said this to Bill the other day, or not the other day, a while back. I was going, do you know, the last time I wrote more than 6 pages was for talent agents. I haven't written anything longer than a sketch since then because I can't. I've tried.
Yeah.
And I've kind of gone, I can't write that. I can't. My fear is I don't want to commit myself so much to a project like a day with talent agents, because we've written more than one episode. It's not it floored me, and I know it did you as well. You know,
not me completely for 6. The good thing is, no matter what, talent agents is always going to be there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It will always be there, and I still stand by what I said on that thing before. If it came to it, I would happily fund the next episode myself.
Well, here's, you know what I mean? Thing.
Get something like that going. I would do it. If we could then throw to people, there's 2 episodes. See what you think. By the way, we still have scripts for another 4. Like, you know what I mean? So, but well, what will be, man.
Fuck it. I'm on a live podcast. I'm on a podcast. I'm recording. There is an idea come into my head, but it's a big idea. I had this idea of writing kind of a feature length thing, and it's almost Celtic. I have my Celtics thing. It's kind of projects, and I have this wee project and I keep writing bits and I delete it because I want to show you the idea. I'm going to pitch it to you on the Art of Talking Bollocks podcast. Basically, man,
throw your bollocks in my face. Go for it.
Oh, I'm going to throw them full swing. You better have fucking protective headgear on, son, because I'm in the 40s now, as you know, as we mentioned.
Well, we know they're going to be swinging.
So. But the idea is, now this is, I'm trying to think this, it's to do with talent agents.
Right.
And basically, it's like a documentary, a Netflix-style documentary about talent agents, about why it never got off the ground, but it'd be talking about, it'd be using the characters. So it'd be as if it started as a pilot and there was a whole controversy and the whole thing got scrapped and that Troy Shapiro's in jail and we're all doing different things. Yeah. And it's kind of that kind of Netflix style documentary. And that's the idea I'm thinking of. It's circling around in my head of, could we do that? Because the what we ever think, obviously we have, we're in the middle of a pandemic. There's a lot of obstacles here. Money, filming, yes. But the idea, and I say I'm pitching this, I'm talking off the top of my head because it's very embryonic stages in my head. But the idea of it is that you put it out as a film that you can put out to different, this costs money as well, is to put it out to different festivals.
Of course.
And the idea is it's an advertisement in the strange, you want to get people intrigued going, well, what the fuck was this TV series? I'd love to see that TV series. Yeah. And that's the way of, it's like a two-way thing. It's in a way, it's a movie, but at the same time, it's advertising the TV
show. Could we
not
do it in hazmat suits?
Listen, it takes time to write. So hopefully by the time it got written, and I'm sure me and you can chat over this when we're off air, because we're not getting any more ideas over it. Fuck yous. But you know,
you never know who's listening.
There is something. If Michael Smith is listening to this, I'm reckoning he's creamed his pants already. But...
So texts are flying through here. What's that?
But it's something there. I thought, well, you know, Trace, this is another tact, you know, and you know, because yes, I'm doing, and I said this to you before in private, I'm doing The Sixth Sense, but you know, the other things, and that's, you know, same with the other guys. We all do our own things, but we still, you know, we've got The Sixth Sense, but we're going to do other things as well, and if it's fun, man. I mean, I had more fun that week than I've ever had in anything, as you say, I've ever done in my life. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't know if we can recreate the same thing, maybe, but I think there's a, I just think it would make sense to have, you know, we made the pilot, and this is, so we can use probably bits from the pilot in the movie, you know, and to me, I don't know. No one's ever heard. This is the first time I've actually spoke this out in words, by the way. So, while you're listening, you're hearing the creative process going on here. So, this could be the beginning of something, folks. There you go. You've heard it here first.
I'd be up for that. Like, I would. I'd be definitely up for that. 100%.
Rather than, do you know what I mean? Rather than making an episode 2, and it not, you know, where this, we actually could put this out somewhere.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And start to relive the characters and stuff like that there. It's just a thought. It's maybe something we can speak to in
private. No, definitely. I don't think we need to really worry too much about our social distancing when you see all them other fucking halfwits gathering together. So, I mean, let's get a coffee and fucking do this shit. Like, I say coffee. We could do what we usually do at Debsy's, like, and get fucking lit and talk about it.
Well, you know, but as I say, there's plenty of time to discuss that, and once I get going, I'll be all right. But you know, you know what? Again, that's what, like, and you with yourself coming on, I didn't need to write any notes, and I just thought, and we kind of are just throwing things out, and in the middle of a fucking podcast, we're starting to talk about doing a movie. But there you go, it's something there, and yeah, it's, you know, it's, and I think that's what I'm going to go back to is.
Yeah,
and my advice to yourself is as well, man, is just fucking take it and go, I'm enjoying doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And if it goes somewhere, it goes somewhere. But we had fun making the fucking thing.
Oh, absolutely. Best time.
You know, you're no matter what, you know, I know what your dad was saying, you never get the fifth. Dude, you'll get to, do you know what? And what I loved about doing this podcast, I've talked to Chris, and I talked to, you know, a couple of others as well. And we did it's made me reflect on really 10 years of doing this. We've just, between the two of us, the three of us have really been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah.
And when I look back, I go, fucking hell. All right. I'm not a millionaire, but I've had fucking some good times, man. I mean, let's face it, you know, the Tony Sinclair show, like, we did the Unmentionables, which might not be one to be mentioned, which I did talk to Johnny and Jade about. You know, we brought that back in the second half, and it was an experience. But, you know, talent ages alone, you know, hey, man, don't discard that shit. We should be proud of what we've done.
I say I don't appreciate it, but I really, really do, is that you were saying about before, fuck, I don't want to ask Rory about doing this again and doing this and doing that.
Yeah.
But as much as a pain in the hole as it was for me, you kept pushing me and doing stage stuff, right?
Sorry.
No. Don't apologize for it, right? Because, one, yes, I fucking despise stage more than these dicks in this corona pish, right? I fucking hate it. However, I'm glad you did it, because I think if you're uncomfortable with something and then you can do it,
yeah,
it proves you got the fucking balls to get out there and you can push yourself and sort of relatively put on a decent show. Because the person who had the biggest balls for whenever we did that show in the Black Box, right, was you. Yeah. Because the poor bastard who had to go out first was you, right?
I felt that was on me.
No, but in fairness, cracking job, right, really was. And of course, I'm still sitting in the wee room cutting through a crate of Budweiser thinking, fuck's sake, I'm still sober. How the fuck am I going out here? I can't do this. I need a poo, right? And then suddenly it was the time to go out and do that thing, as we were like the weird foreign hairdresser couple.
Again, this is the, right. Do you know what this wasn't? I was doing, when Chris and I were talking about this, we didn't actually mention the Black Box show. So this might be an opportunity to maybe go over that ground if you want. Chris and I talked about, because it was 10 years, and that's the weird thing. I had sent Chris a message going, man, do you fancy doing the podcast? You know, because I'd say to Chris, I was interested to see how his business was doing through all this nonsense as well, and just to chat to him. And he was like, yeah, no problem. That's great. Nice. It's grand Saturday. And then I was sitting there looking at my phone and I went, what date is it? And I went, hang on a second. This is fuck. I was like, that's when I sent you the text going, dude, it's 10 years since we did this. So we kind of talked about that. And then we kind of talked just a wee bit about, you know, the rest and how it ended and blah, blah, blah. And we talked about the green room, him being on stage, which was fucking amazing. But the Black Box was definitely 100% our best show. What I said to Chris in that episode was, I wish we had have ended that whole thing there that night and rode off into sunset as that show. I wish, because it would have been the most perfect ending. Because after that,
The Mac didn't go the plan, did it?
that was something else. But that was something else. But I'm saying, for the Tony Sinclair show when we were doing it, the Black Box was just like, but of course you want more. Do you know what I mean? Because you're human. But I, you know, and it's because after that there, it kind of things were a bit, it just wasn't the same. But you know, that show was amazing. You know, that it was, well, it wasn't like fucking, it was, when I say amazing, I'm saying amazing for us.
No, it was amazing. I don't care. See, there were people that came up and said how good that was. You know yourself, and I'm not going to go into it, what really fucked it up, which was that after everything was finished, in fact.
Yeah.
Right. We don't need to get into that. However, no. The show in itself, man, you couldn't have asked for better in my eyes. I mean, even, right, with the character that ended up being in Talent Agents of Jarvis, right? When I had to walk through, thankfully with that music going, my arse sounded like a fucking machine gun, right? Because I shit myself, right? Thankfully, they were baggy trousers, right? And it was one of the most intense things I've ever gone through in my life to go from there to that bar. I'll tell you what, that whiskey did fuck all for me, by the way.
Right? It was. Can I paint the picture, though? Because it was an awesome... You came out as Jarvis Pendleton, and so all six of my listeners might know, some might not. But the music was Back in Black, and you came out brooding as fuck, that big leather jacket that Jarvis wears, and you walk straight to the bar. You'd pray, which is a fucking... This is what I love about you, man. You kind of thought about it and went, right, Stevie... This is a Rory. This is a Rory. You're about to do your and turn it in. You're like, Steve, I've got an idea. And I'm like, okay, let's hear it. And then you go, I'm going to get a fucking whiskey at the bar, man. I'm just going to walk to the bar, slug the whiskey, and walk up to the stage as cool as fuck. And I went, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard. And Chris said to me that every Chris would go, that's because I didn't see it happen. I hadn't come out just. But Chris, he says that was the coolest thing he had ever seen. We just walked out, down to whiskey, and we walked back onto the stage in true Jarvis Pendleton style. But going back to that, did you not find that easier because it was the end? I always find when I get on the stage, once I did that Elvis Says sing at the start, people are going, what the fuck's Elvis Says? You had to be there. You know, once I did that, I was like, get me out there all the time. Sure. So once I do the first thing and I get a laugh, I'm like, I'm all right now. The bits we did, again, we kind of were a double act most through that show. Apart from the start, you and I kind of did the two fashionistas, which was my... I loved it. I mean, Claude's rod.
Oh, my God.
My God, what a rod.
Treasures in the fucking world. I cut blood supply off, man, I'm telling you.
It was Claude and Wolfgang, wasn't it? I couldn't remember what Wolfgang's name was.
Claude
and
Wolfgang,
Fuck me. And we got people up on the stage, and was it Davy Robinson? This guy we worked with in Knockbracken. Was it him
we did the makeup.
Which was class, where he did the make, and you know, Chris's Tony, who, you know, I've said to him already, hats off, man, for doing a whole show out there on your own. At least I could go for a break. Yeah, that's why I like doing different characters.
Yeah, he did.
But you know, so there was loads of wee bits not there. Your missus was on it, of course, as Trixie Lynn, Duke.
Yeah.
She was. And it was good. I mean, it was a great night. I remember, you know, that feeling like $1 million after that. It felt great. Like, it was an amazing show. But of course, it kind of just went, you know, after that, it kind of just died away eventually. It kind of just, you know, I know I said to Chris in the last one, you know, that I spoke to Chris and said, like, you know, I think it was fitting that you got to play the Green Room. You know, you
absolutely. Listen, that guy deserves everything that he got. That took so much balls to be able to ad-lib and to make it flow as much as it did that he was able to do. Because there was a hell of a lot of dialogue for him to learn. And I that's off to Chris. And then what he pulled off, and especially Liverpool is not the most... I don't want to say it's not the most hospitable place in the world, right? But you either you can do it or you can't.
They're
and
funny
I remember
people.
Him stressing over that, thinking what he could write down, what he could say, what he could do. And the first 15 to 20 seconds, whenever he was up there and we were backstage, and it was just, shit, come on. All we need is that one first laugh.
Yeah.
Just need that one first laugh. And you know what? See, as soon as that happened, I couldn't have been prouder for him, because he was able to have them eaten out of his hand. He was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
And that's because he's, I know probably if you're listening, you're on your own over old ground, but he said, like, and I forgot about this, that the guy had gone to him, listen, man, if you're shit after 30 seconds, I'll haul you off.
Yeah.
You know, so there was that pressure and all added on. So, you know, again, top fucking hat tip to you, man.
No, but he was, listen, Chris puts an awful lot of pressure on himself, I think, right? But in a way, I think that makes him as good as he is at what he does.
It feels him, man.
Absolutely. And I have so much admiration for him, because, I couldn't have done that. Absolutely not. I would have gone up there, and I'll tell you now, I probably would have been the first person in the green room to have a bottle thrown at him, right? He got up there. He had the confidence. And not only that, it was beforehand, like I say, when we were in the room and he was on his laptop and he was trying to write down what he was going to do and putting his dialogue and his for when he was up. And he was sitting there about, all right, who was playing today? Who did this? Who did that? And then he was able to bring in. But see, as soon as they thought and they knew it was a joke, psychic.
Yeah.
They fucking loved that, man. They lapped it up. And he was
Even know. They wanted us back. Apparently, again, I didn't know that, or I forgot about it. I mean, there's part of me probably just blanked a lot of stuff out at the end. But it's not that, you know, I just, I had him a fill. You know, I kind of was like, there's only so far you can take this, to be fair. And that's the thing, man. But I mean, the only good thing, what I would say about this is, the only good, the one we had over to Liverpool and stuff like that there, I remember going over to Liverpool and we were all together and like you and I, we were mates, but I think after that we came over and it was like a different fucking friendship. It was like a stronger fucking friendship after that. You know, that, and I know I'm saying this because it was, I remember us going over and you were a mate, you're a good mate, but we mostly just met up to do comedy shit.
Yeah.
And that thing I always remember, unless it's obviously that conversation is fucking is between you and I on that journey, but I remember it changed the fucking relationship of a friendship in a good way.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Are you talking on the flight home?
Yeah. It was just like, it was kind of like you and 100%. I bonded more than, you know, over there and coming home. Obviously, that's where it kind of, we were like, yeah, fucking hell, hold on. Have we just become best friends? It was like it's like Steph Rivers, you know. You know, and
you fancy John Stamos as well? That's all right. I'm just thought I thought it was only me having them sexual fantasies. That's all right.
But yeah, man, we took a kind of year off and then started talking. That's where we're like talking about talent agents. I forgot as well about talent agents. Or did we mention this in episode 3 that we were doing the thing in your flat? So it was that we that's so
that the Jarvis characters, Carnet, wasn't it? We that started.
Yeah,
that's right.
So those characters have been the three of us started off together, and we were talking the other day, and this is why I want to bring this in as well. We were talking about, you know, going to Rosie's comedy improv class, and I think we were like our class was pretty cool. With a good. You know, it was a good class.
Yeah.
But we were talking about the warm-ups and how I used to make sure I stood across from you every time to see your reactions.
No, I was never into that hugging and holding hands shit. Like, that's just... Fuck, that was some cold shit, man. I can't... No, I barely hugged Jacqueline. I didn't need to have any of that fucking shit going on. You know what I mean? That's... No. I didn't even hug I don't even hug my children like that, right? So, and I love them, but nah.
It's no, the warm-ups though.
And it's doing the ho-ho-ha. Fucking, listen, I didn't want to be an extra from fucking Finding Nemo in that little tank. That's how it felt.
I just remember, I used to go, I'm standing across from Rory. I have to, because it's the looks on your face.
But it didn't help me whenever you were making them faces yourself at me by laughing at it, and then I sort of enraged me more. I was like, what is can't do it to me.
This is before we're really close friends, folks.
The worst thing was, I don't know if it was maybe the first or second time doing that class with her, right? And then suddenly, I don't know if she had cottoned on to my face. But don't get me wrong, Rosie was a really, really good teacher.
Oh, absolutely.
Such a good energy and spirit about her. But she takes me outside, and I actually thought, fuck, she's going to give me a bollocking, right? It was a case of, oh, I want you to try and do this, and I'm going to get other people to guess such and such. And I'm like, I was so close to going, fuck, I thought you were going to tell me off because I really hate this shit that you're doing at the start. And I was like, oh, all right, okay, yeah, no worries. And I can take away a couple of things from it. I remember having it doing improv with Kate.
Yeah.
And I was ad-libbing being an undertaker for Pet Sematary.
Yes.
And she buried, I tried to work it in a way that it would be an octopus. And then we buried her eight-legged friend. So yeah, I remember things like, but it's good though to have things like that fired at you to try and fire it off the top.
Yeah. Do you know, my favourite memory of doing a skit with you and Kate was, there was one where we had the voice, what they were saying.
In a drawer, wasn't it?
This one was to do with farming. And we were, I don't know if it was rival farmers, and I was just like, right, I've got it. And it was like, I was standing behind Kate, and it was something like, I went into full carry-on fucking camping mood, like, and she said something like, oh, well, mine's the biggest, this, you know, and you were like, well, this here, and me and you kind of looked at each other, and I went, yeah, well, if you think that's good, you should see the size of my melons. And she was like, you just see her turning around going, you dirty bat. And I was like, what? You got to improve it. You know, so stuff like that there. We kind of, and all I do remember is that we did kind of lower the tone. I think there's more innocent things. We kind of turned it to dirt.
Oh, it turned into proper filth. I mean, I know for a fact, I remember Chris being the first one to use the C word. Like,
that was not the word
he called me a cunt. That's what it was. But the thing was, he completely then broke character and then started apologizing. I was like, don't worry about it. It's all good. And he goes, no, I'm sorry. I was like, no, it's fine. Don't worry.
It's the one that you ever, the one that always sticks out for me with Chris is your woman, that she's got to get the bath ready. And it's the joke was, I think the skit was that he has to get her into the bath because he wants to kill her. Mm. And your girl, Victoria, was not having any of it. Chris just went, would you get into the fucking bath? He was just legitimate. He just burst out. I just thought, oh my god, that was so funny, man. It was just like,
I do remember that, actually. Remember that. And the guy who I'm still very suspicious of, if he was really blind or not.
Oh no, that's the one I he said he passed his, he didn't, he said he turned 17. I said this in the, and I went,
he had a walking sticker, all CNI can or something. I don't know what the fuck it was.
But I fucking asked. He said he turned 17, and then I turned around and say, oh, you'll be able to do your driving test. And immediately I apologized, and he just laughed. To be fair to the lad, he laughed. He laughed, and went, I went, yeah, I'm a dick. And he just went, yeah. He just started laughing. He going, yeah, that'll be funny. You know, and he made a laugh. And I was like, fair play to him. You know, so. But no, I said it, and you were just—you're trying to be nice and polite, because yeah. I was like, and then I what a dick, what a dick.
Oh God, yes, no, that was brilliant. It makes me feel really old, even then, because you say what, he was 17.
Yeah.
Shit, I was only, fuck, I was about 10 years on him at that stage.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing, man. It's because you were. I think you got it. You were applying for a new job and stuff like that there, in between all that there. So it was sort of,
yeah. I mean, we were still working together, obviously, in Knockbracken, and then I eventually got a job. Well, I was able to get a permanent job, for a company that I'll not disclose. Like,
No.
But, because they're a sure of cunts. But,
Yeah, let's not mention them.
So I went there, and from what I hear, and not to have a go, but fuck ye, is there all ballots? No, they're falling, they're crumbling badly, by the way.
That's because you're not there.
Yeah, I got that, and then it pretty much fizzled off.
Me and Chris, we actually turned up the other one, but you missed a little of them. But
that's right.
The thing that was going to, it just came into my mind there going, I remember the first time me and you kind of sort of met, we were chatting away. Now, the joke me and you always have of each other is the first time I seen you, it's like, why is that cunt always grumpy looking? And yours was, why is that cunt always smiling? So, and mine was to keep the
spirits. You were coming off a shift, for fuck's sake. Of course you're going to be smiling.
But it would come in on a shift with a smile, because, and it was as fake as it goes. It just me, if I didn't smile, I didn't want to be there. I was just like, oh, no. Because so, it depended on what ward it was. Let's put it that way. But no, did you ever think? Sorry, yeah.
No. I was just going to say, back on that show in the Black Box, your character, Wolfgang, did you get that character from Knock Bracken?
No.
That's okay. No, I'm just double checking because of a particular incident that happened. That's all.
No. It was just, I don't even know where I got it from, man. But no, I'm trying not to do that in case I got into trouble. No. I'll talk to you offline about that. But, oh, Jesus. He's away.
I feel so bad.
You should be
terrified of per man. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yes. Where was I? I've lost my train. No, I know what it was. No, but I'm just saying, like, did you think you would, like, did you even, I remember thinking, like, when I first met you, I would never have thought us boys would have been doing acting. Like, I did acting in school and balls, well, primary school, you know. But I never thought I would do it. But the minute I did it, it was fucking, it felt right. Especially the comedy improv stuff. I was like, that's where I started writing straight away. I started writing scripts, then I ended up writing a fucking film. But,
yeah,
you know, it got the old juices going for me, you know. So it started that, fucking, you're going to break up again, aren't you? But yeah,
I loved it. I mean, see, as soon as we started doing it though together, to me it just seemed more like a second nature thing.
Yeah,
it really did. Sort of like, you know, just, I don't want to say it was like magnets, you know, because opposites attract and all that there shit. Yeah. But whenever we started doing it, it just seemed like the right thing to do. It was just fucking brilliant. I loved it. I absolutely loved that. Brilliant yeah. Stuff.
And it's, but the only, I think the only difference, that's where I'm saying about differences. I remember again being 30 going, right, when we started doing Tony Sinclair, we were all around that age then, and it was like, right, we have to do this tomorrow. This has to be done tomorrow. And you put all that pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
But again, it's back to, I look back and all, I go, that was fucking awesome. I'm, you know, no matter what I do, I can look back on those things and go, I'm proud of what we did. And I know I'm rehashing stuff that we said earlier. But, you know, I think we should be proud, especially of talent agents. I think the thing about talent agents is the work we put in from day one, from the day we started writing. The day I remember us walking around Saintfield for a dander and basically hatching out this plan and writing out the ideas deciding what it was going to be. And, you know, originally we didn't even know it was going to be talent agents. You know, they were, you know.
Our first episode was written in your kitchen.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's shit that it's still there, you know. And I every so often I'll read the scripts and go, whoo. I'm really fucking proud. That's good shit.
Absolutely, man. It was great. And, you know, not to brag, but the fact that you had a producer from Game of Thrones that loved it.
Yes, I like to mention that, folks. We did have a producer from Game of Thrones who liked it and passed it on, but it went nowhere.
I believe was a travesty. Like, I mean, it really was. I still think, though, if there was a way of doing it, how Mrs. Brown's Boys, because obviously the BBC didn't take it on straight away, right? Because they went off, didn't they, to Scotland with it.
I think that's what the story
if there was
is.
A way of doing that with them, I think.
Yeah. There's a number of things, man. I mean, there's bits of me now, you know, this might look of changing the format and stuff as well. There's part of me, I'm watching a lot of American sort of things of The Office, American Office, and then Parks and Recreation. And I feel that it's now the worry for me would be that the mockumentary is starting to die out. But I think you can reinvent it. I think there's a way of reinventing it, the mockumentary. I think the problem with I find with American mockumentaries are they make me laugh. Don't get me wrong, The Office makes me laugh. There's a lot of it's a very funny show, but it doesn't know if it's a mockumentary or a sitcom.
See, well, exactly. That's the difference, and people would be able to tell from ours 100%.
Ours was a full on, and that's that again. That's where I came up with the idea of the you know, the film of talking about, you know, it's because scarily enough, man, in September it'll be 6 years since we filmed that.
I was looking at
6 years have passed, you know, a lot has changed. You know, so that's why I thought, well, maybe if we could turn around and say, oh, this is what happened, you know, the pilot was done and then things went, you know, and you know, then you know, that's just my thinking, man. But anyway, listen, we're past talent age and stuff. Let's hear about, I mean, what you're saying your plans is it acting, man? I know you've got plans for talent agents, but are you planning to get back? Because you were for a while. I know you did have, you were sort of getting yourself, you know, talking maybe how many years ago you were getting, you had an agent at one point and you were doing some acting and stuff like that there. I mean, are you looking to get back into like acting or comedy acting or?
Acting in general. The last proper thing I did was what we had done. Simple. Yeah. That was it. I have reached out. I was then contacted by a guy. He called me last week there, actually.
Yeah.
And I sent my CV to him, and he's going to put me on his books. The only thing is I sort of need to just revise my CV a wee bit.
Yeah.
And then see where it goes. But as he said himself, look, the likelihood of anything happening within the next 6 months.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Like, purely because we have to wait for all this pish to die down. But I don't want to be sitting thinking, what if?
Yeah.
And if something comes off, great. If it doesn't, the good thing is, and I said to my wife, it's the case of, if I fail, I'm happy to have failed. Absolutely happy to have failed.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't be happy to fail by not trying.
No. And that's getting back to that point, man. Is enjoy, dude, enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds very, but I'm learning, enjoy the journey. If you can look, you might not become a millionaire. Sometimes that's maybe a good thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I'd like to try it. I wouldn't mind trying it.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind giving that a wee go, that side of it. Like, that'd be nice. Absolutely.
But, you know, and don't get me wrong, I would do this. If someone said to me, look, I'll pay you the same money you're getting paid now, I would say, fuck off, pay me an extra couple of grand. But you know what I mean? But you know what I mean? I would do it for a reasonable price. To do it would be great. It'd be fantastic. But I don't think it'd be a failure, Rory. If you turned around in 10 years' time and wasn't a fully fledged, I don't think that would be a failure, because I think There's so much to be looked back and be proud of. And I think if you keep, and this is what I'm just saying this from mate to mate, if you keep thinking that, that'll be great. You'll be all right. Because then you'll not beat yourself up or go, fuck's sake, a failed. I don't think you failed. I think you've got 40. How many people have written and got a pilot made? Not many. And had a guy from Game of Thrones like it and stuff like that there. You know, you helped produce a show with me and stuff like that there. So it doesn't, I know it sounds small time, and maybe it is. Well, I say fuck you to the people who say that. I had good memories with my friends, and I want to create more memories doing stuff because I enjoy doing it. That for me has made me feel a lot more fucking leveled out and going, it's fine, I'm enjoying it now. I'm going to enjoy every second of this because we only get one shot at this shit, man. Do you know what I mean? As in life.
I still think we should still give it a go because I'm not giving up on it. Like, I think there's still something in there for us to do. On the other side of that, when I said to you, like I say, I am going with this guy. I'll revise it and then send it off to him again.
Yeah.
But I'm in a position now, and I mean now as in for the my job anyway.
Yeah.
That my bosses, well, when I was working with him, he's great.
Yeah.
He really is great. I know if I wanted to, say, take time to go off and do, say, an audition or something,
yeah,
I would probably be allowed to do it. The good thing is, well, that I've found out now that more directors and casting agents nowadays, now this goes to show how behind the times I am, prefer self-tapes, right?
Yeah.
Well, fuck, that does me. If I say, the job that I do, right, sometimes I have to stay away in fucking hotels and the, listen, this is how far south of Ireland I've worked. I worked down in Piss and Dingle, mate, right?
You don't get much more south by here.
No, you really don't, all right? That is like 6.5 bastard hour drive.
Yeah.
7 hours, actually, tell a lie. In the van that I drove with the fucking equipment I was carrying, nearly 8, right? Bastard to do, okay? Now, I do a self-tape. Send that off. Somebody says, oh, here, come do such and such. I don't care if I have to pull a sickie. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going because this is something I am not letting go of. And no, it still stands the same for agents and stuff. I still believe wholeheartedly that I would say over a couple of periods of, say, a few weekends, we could get a shot. Easily.
You know, and that's it, man. Let's, you know, sit down and, you know, it's the same as what I want to do as well. You know, agents is always there. I've always said that. It's always been there. I've always said that if I can get somewhere when we're doing the Sixth Sense stuff that I can duck down and go, oh, by the way, have you got anything else? Oh, yeah, here. You know,
yeah.
That kind of thing as well. So it's always there. And again, that's what I'm saying to you earlier, that, you know, I have started writing wee bits here, and then, don't get me wrong, I've written a couple of lines and then deleted it. But the wee working title's still there. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's always on my mind. So yeah, but for you, man, I think absolutely you should chase after the acting because it would be a waste of a talent. And I'm not blowing smoke up your ass just because you're my mate. You know, you've got a presence on screen. I've seen you do things not just with comedy, you know, and it's like, if there's anyone could do acting, man, and get in a career in acting, it is you. It's just, it's like anything else, man. It has to fall under the right person. You just have to get that break.
Yeah,
and it's about. I think, you know, Bill Taylor has said to me many times. He says, "Stevie, it's an odyssey, man. Sometimes," he says, "you've just got to keep plugging away and plugging away. And there's days you want to quit, dude. There's so many days I want to quit this, and then I stop, and then I think about the purest bit as again going back to, but are you enjoying it? Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Well, then why would you want to quit, you dick? You know, you have that conversation.
Absolutely,
that's it.
If you love something, don't give up on it because you'll regret it. And then you're going to there'll be so much self-loathing in it as well. And not only that, it's like, I don't care necessarily too much about the job that I do at the minute. And when I say that, I don't mean it as in when I go do my job, I do a half-assed job.
No, but you're professional.
My passion lies elsewhere.
Yes. You know?
And if I fail at that, then you're going to take that shit home. And then who are you going to give out on?
Exactly.
The ones closest to you, so fuck that noise. Like, I'm not into that.
Yeah, and that's the same as me, man. I mean, I'm in a job. Don't get me wrong. When I go to my job, I'm professional, and I do actually really enjoy my job, believe it or not. But the other thing is, I see it. It pays my bills. It pays for my family. It pays for, you know, a fucking daughter in university. You know, it pays the bills, and it pays for me to do my comedy, whatever I'm doing, or this podcast. So, you know, if that, I'm happy at the moment. And that's all that matters. It is the only thing that matters in life, is if you're happy, be happy. Well, and that's, I know that may change in a few months, I'll become bitter and twisted all over again. But, you know, at the moment I'm happy, I'm going to stay that way, you know, as long as I can. And that's the way it is. You got to live in that moment, man. You know, if you're happy, fucking brilliant. Because sometimes this life grinds you down.
Absolutely. And another thing on that, though, as long as there's Heineken in the fridge.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Oh, dear. But listen, man, I tell you what we're going to do. This, I'm trying to around this amount of time anyway. So it's been fucking great to have you on. And we will have you on again and again in many different forms. You know, because I'm thinking, you know, some of the episode, this is for the folks listening, some of the episodes it's going to be us chatting away, but there's other ones that are going to start bringing themes in that we're going to talk about, maybe certain things and stuff like that there. So this is definitely not the last you've heard of a couple of things. It's the second time for Rory Lindsay being on this podcast, and it certainly will not be the last time. And by God, maybe even Talent Agents is being resurrected, folks. You just don't know. Michael Smith, if you're listening, have you got a wee tingle? You got a wee tingle, don't you?
He has an erection right now, it's guaranteed.
But yeah, so definitely, listen, man, thank you so much for coming on.
Appreciate it.
Man, and I've been messing up my endings for the past so many episodes, but I've got it here. You ready? Honestly, you've been... What's your name? So I'm going to say you've been, you can give your name, okay? So here it is, right? So you've been...
Rory Lindsay.
I've been Stephen Barrett, and we've been talking bollocks. Thank you very much.